Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, glad you are back with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's the it's a new day in America. Welcome in. Now we're watching what's going to happen in Washington, D.C. And guess what? You won't be surprised to learn that it's all happening pretty quickly. We are on standby right now for the video of the vice president, who is actually going to apparently swear in Marco Rubio as Secretary of State. That would be the first cabinet officer to be approved by the Senate. That vote was done yesterday, as was same time the Senate approved the Laken Riley Act. And I'm sure they're back at work today. There are more hearings scheduled, more votes, I'm told. They could get Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth to the floor here shortly, and it's going to be a busy week. Needless to say, there will be few breaths taken now that Donald Trump, somebody who's awake and conscious, is in charge of the United States. I mean, from 7 a.m. yesterday while we were on the air here till midnight last night Central Time, Donald Trump was involved in some activity from before the inauguration all the way through the inaugural balls last night.
I know that amazing. Man loves his Diet Coke. In fact, he was cheersing at the inaugural luncheon. He had Diet Coke, and they were joking. I think it was Peter Ducey who was joking in the Oval Office as he was signing the executive orders. Hey, did you have that Diet Coke button put back in? The man loves it. But does he drink coffee? I mean, he's 78 years old. He's been going for years now. I don't know how he has the stamina to do all that, if he's just chugging coffee and we don't know about it, or I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I know last night Ducey asked him about whether or not Trump had left or Biden had left him a note, and he didn't know. He honestly didn't know. He goes, well, that's a good question, Peter.
Well, he held it up, though, right?
And
he said 47.
Opens the drawer, and he saw it land there. He goes, well, look at that. He goes, thank you, Peter. If you hadn't mentioned that, this might have laid in here for months. So he didn't read it. I was glad he didn't just open it up and read it. He was going to read it and then tell people what the contents were. So that's part of what's going on this morning. And you can there was also a U.S. border agent shot last night near the Canadian border. Pulled over a couple people in a car. They opened fire on him. It's unclear if they were illegals breaking into the country, but it was in Vermont, I understand, very close to the Canadian border. So more details coming out about that, and we'll find out more about the J6 pardons this morning as well. But first, we want to get to our top stories this morning. Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
My job is to focus on the president's foreign policy, and it's going to be a foreign policy that's frankly as straightforward as any in modern times, and that is that the priority of the Department of State of the United States is going to be the United States.
That's pretty simple, isn't it? Guess what? We're not out there trying to save the world. That's not what we're doing. We're not worried about whether people in, you know, parts of Africa have condoms. We're going to take care of the United States of America. Way to go, Mr. Rubio.
Would you think about ordering U.S. Special Forces into Mexico to take them out?
Could happen. Stranger things have happened.
Can you imagine the scrambling they're doing in the consulate somewhere in Mexico upon learning that now that the cartels are designated terrorist organizations, the United States can act against them with its own special forces? They must be freaking out just a little bit in Mexico.
It is very hard for me to look at this spectacle of the takeover of the United States by a base mentality of greed and corruption.
Oh, Joy, poor Joy Reid. It's a base of greed and corruption. And we don't want to talk about the Biden crime family because they've all been pardoned now, and there's no chance for us to go back and get them. Or maybe there is.
Are you going to the inauguration? Are you going to the inauguration? Let me make myself clear. I don't celebrate rapists.
Boom! Did you hear that? Did you hear what she just said right there? I just want to point that out for just a moment. Because George Stephanopoulos and ABC News paid a very hefty fine for him saying the rape word regarding Donald Trump. I wonder if there's any chance they would go after AOC.
I doubt it, but it really is not okay that she's sitting there making claims like that.
Well, they feel like they can say whatever they want. They always have against Donald Trump. But people have been sued for making that claim. It's not true, but it is exactly what the left, what they're going to start on. There are people calling for impeachment proceedings already against Trump. You know why?
Of course.
Because of the Trump coin, the meme coin.
Yeah.
This is the article this morning. One of the articles, the meme coin has turned Donald Trump into one of the richest men in the world, and he must be using it to propel his fortune, so we should impeach him.
Yeah, I saw everyone saying it's just a billionaires club there. Look how many rich people were in that room. Who cares?
Yeah, thank you.
Seriously, as long as they're going to lead our country well, I don't care if they live on the street. I don't care if they're a billionaire. Just do right by our country. That's what I care about.
That's what we care about. It is what we care about. And all of the worries of an oligarchy. I listened to CBS. I listened to MSNBC. I switched over to MSNBC yesterday. I'm sitting on the couch watching. I can't remember what portion of the day it was. It might have been when Donald Trump was sitting there on that stage at Capital One signing those executive orders. And my wife came in and she said, you need to switch that over and see what the lefty channels are saying. Like CNN, I switched to briefly, and then I went to MSNBC. It took me a minute to find it. And there on the banner, it says, convicted felon sworn in as president for the first time. That was what was on their banner at the bottom of the screen.
They just can't. This is MSNBC.
With that Nicole Wallace,
yeah,
the show
they
she's anchoring.
They just can't let it go.
Yeah.
It's just sad.
Yeah, I know. Did you ever see The Flying Nun? Did you ever see that show, The Flying Nun?
Mm-mm.
She had a hat on that, and she could supposedly fly, right?
I just hope it wasn't Whoopi Goldberg. I'm thinking of Sister Act.
Nicole Wallace, if you looked at her yesterday, her hair is like parted down the middle and feathered out. And I don't know how she does it, but it looks like she could get up from that anchor desk and just take off flying like the Flying Nun. It's the goofiest looking thing I've ever. She loves to brag about the fact that she used to be a Republican. And then she spent, they spent a good 10-minute segment heaping praise on the Richards woman who died yesterday, who ran Planned Parenthood.
Oh, yeah.
She died on the same day Donald Trump got sworn into office. Which I guess she had brain cancer. I didn't know that. And I didn't know that she was Ann Richards' daughter. I never knew that. Like the former governor of Texas, right? I had no idea she was.
Well, she did a lot of evil stuff.
She did a lot of evil stuff, and I'm sure we'll have to face that with her maker. To face that with her maker at some point. But yeah, she died. She passed away yesterday. The former Planned Parenthood director Cecile Richards, the same day Donald Trump got sworn in. Mm. All right, a quick break here coming up. Jessie Jane Duff had her on last week. She said, of course, she played a role as the head of Veterans for Trump, and she was at the Liberty Ball for the military last night, anxious to get her take on how that event was when we come back from this break.
The golden age of America begins right now. From this day forward, our country will flourish and be respected again all over the world. We will be the envy of every nation, and we will not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of any longer. During every single day of the Trump administration, I will very simply put America first.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
All right. Jessie Jane Duff is on the phone with us this morning. And Jessie Jane, if Donald Trump is not tired after yesterday, you have no excuse. That guy was like an Energizer bunny.
Oh, it's amazing. I will say, though, that every Trump supporter who attended any of these events deserves to be tired because the frigid temperatures that they were waiting in. I will tell you, just to get into the Liberty Ball, my Veterans for Trump, the two men that I had come to the ball with me with their wives and a couple friends of theirs, it was literally 20-something degrees. They were out there over 3 hours.
Wow.
Waiting.
To get into the ball.
And when they finally got in, there were still people coming in up to an hour later, and you could tell just by the looks on their faces that they were just mortified. Most of the women may have had, some of them had coats on, but many of them had put a wrap on or some kind of, they didn't realize the line was going to go up five blocks, down another block, and up another five blocks up into the entrance area. It was astronomically bone-chilling beyond words. It was like being in a meat freezer. So I would dare to say that the people who had to wait in those lines, and I'm sure the Capital One Arena had their own lines. There was somebody who told me got up at 2:30 a.m. to get over there for the inauguration event, just for the doors to open. He was in the first 500, but look how early he had to be there.
Yeah.
So it was not for the faint at heart. And going to a ball, you're not wearing your thermals. You know, you're not.
No.
You're not wearing your Alaskan attire. Men are out there in tuxedos and coats, but those coats are, you know. Anyway, but to say that, getting back to the topic at hand, no, he is brilliant. He's amazing. And he's had this well planned so that on day one, he could make an impact. Right away, we saw a border being closed down right, you know, immediately. We saw that the app that the DHS uses that allowed people to apply for this clemency, where they basically could come over, make an appointment to be reviewed for, you know, the
for amnesty, yeah.
Amnesty, they shut that part down of the app, immediately making changes. And the J6 prisoners, many of them, whether you agree with J6 or not, the extent the law took to them was so overwhelming that people that normally would have maybe received 6 months or a year were sentenced to 5 years. We know the Proud Boys guy who was never even there. Sedition and conspiracy. He was commuted. He was given a 20-year sentence and was never even there for an email that he did not open up that the FBI was trying to allege was the plan for the conspiracy. By the way, going on, one of the men pardoned had committed suicide. He hadn't even gone to prison yet. He was so scared. He was in his early 20s, and he hung himself. There's a lot to be said about his first day.
Jesse Jane, I'm going to have Carl bring up some audio here. Marco Rubio just got sworn in as Secretary of State. Can you hear that, Carl?
President J.D. Vance. Marco Rubio, just as a note, he won unanimous support.
Sounds like CNN. That's okay. But he just got sworn in, so that's now official. J.D. Vance swore him in, and we have a Secretary of State
who understands that it's
America first, right?
Absolutely. And Marco Rubio has been on the forefront of also fighting for the persecuted Christians. Many people don't realize they're one of the most persecuted groups in the entire world. In parts of Africa still where there's people, you often see priests being kidnapped, nuns being kidnapped, killed, people, villages being brutalized, Boko Haram, other terrorist organizations that just basically rampage across Christians. You look at the Christians that have been pushed out of the Middle East, and many of the sacred cities, even in Syria right now, are under threat with this new regime. Bashar al-Assad was just changing hats with another devil. So you essentially have, you know, pick the devil you want to be under in some of these countries. And many of these Christians have lost so many generations of history because they've had to be forced out where Christianity essentially started.
Right. Trump's not wasting any time. I see that now he's set to make some massive infrastructure announcement, and it's sounding like there could be a 4 p.m. presser today to announce that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And look what he's already doing and releasing, making sure that we start drilling again, making sure that Alaska has, I mean, everybody moved to Alaska for one reason, right? You know, it really was the energy gold rush of the 20th and 21st century up there in Alaska. And he's enabled us to start drilling again in our own country, making sure that we have, he says, we're walking on this liquid gold right here. We have more energy here than many countries in the Middle East. We shouldn't be so dependent. And getting that energy release goes to the economy. Look at your egg prices right now. What did they kill? Some 60 million chickens, you know, because of this flu. We're going to not see this freaking insanity that the Biden administration was putting upon this country, to a point where our food prices had escalated, where eggs were already 30% higher. Now I dare to say they're probably 100% higher. You know, everything, because it's based on energy. You cannot have a productive economy if you cannot afford the products and services in which you are needing, and then you become dependent upon foreign entities to provide these services to you. And meanwhile, Americans are not employed because their energy has been shut off. So it's such a backwards concept that the Biden administration had. It was literally the worst administration ever. There's more to be coming. I dare to say we got to stay glued to television, because there's a lot of things that they put in place that have absolutely reversed, that the damages are horrific, that President Trump has to fight.
Well, Jesse Jane, it's going to be a great week.
Yes, absolutely. It is. It's going to be a wonderful week. Take the hill, everybody. We won. Our flag is finally planted again.
That's awesome. Jesse Jane, we'll talk to you soon. Jesse Jane Duff, you can check her out on X or jessejaneduff.com. We're going to be back in just a minute. We'll talk a little bit more about the Rubio swearing in. Stay tuned.
Being there in the rotunda, listening to President Trump tell them to their face that they had failed. Which is true, and laying out that new vision for what he's calling a golden age, inspiring.
Obviously, Senator Josh Hawley there last night on with Laura Ingraham talking about the, making much the same observation that I did earlier today, because I've done a lot of public speaking. I've heard a lot of politicians who'll say one thing to a group of their constituents and then turn around and not seem to have the guts to say that when they're standing in front of a crowd of people who, you know, include some of their opponents in it. Donald Trump had no fear of that yesterday. He stood up in front of Joe Biden and Barack Obama and the Clintons, and he said exactly what he intended to do and was very critical of a lot of their projects, right, that they had started the last 4 years. Good for him. It was refreshing, in my opinion. Not everybody agreed. We got John Schweppe with us this morning. Great to have him on. He's the Director of Policy and Government Affairs for the American Principles Project. John, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Did you have the honor of attending any of the balls or any of the events yesterday?
No, my boss, Terry Schilling, was all over the place. Poor guy's been running ragged for the whole weekend. But no, we were studying the EOs and going over all of them with a fine-tooth comb, and we're excited, man. I'll tell you, Trump came out swinging. No question.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, probably the ones on the border, the ones for the J6 prisoners were the ones that I paid the most attention to yesterday. Maybe what are some of the others that didn't get quite as much coverage, in your opinion?
Well, I really liked the energy EOs. You know, that's really core to why things cost so much. You make it cheaper to ship and, take these food items, for example, on semis across the country. It obviously lowers prices. His fighting against the culture war stuff I thought was awesome. The left has been, you know, just crazy about the diversity, equity, inclusion stuff, the gender ideology, and Trump has some really strong EOs on gender ideology, basically saying, we're done doing anything except for two sexes being male and female. That's it. What we're doing. I was really impressed across the board. Just obviously, he spent 4 years putting these together with his team, and you saw the hard work pay off right on day one.
Going back to the J6 prisoners and him pardoning all of them, you know, my understanding was they should have been released. And from what I'm seeing online, it sounds like they were denied that, and there's a chance that even this morning they won't get released. Have you heard anything about that?
I have seen some of that on Twitter, and I will tell those folks they need to lawyer up, because if there are prison systems or whatever disobeying a direct executive, you know, a pardon from the president, they're going to have all sorts of opportunity to litigate. So those folks, we will get them out shortly, and I'm hoping they're able to make millions for what was done to them.
Yeah, but it's true. You know, the other thing I thought was interesting was the President Trump's response last night to the Fox News reporter. Carl was the one that he talks about. With potentially sending special forces troops in Which bite is that?
Oh. President Trump, the cartels are now going to be seen as foreign terror organizations. Would you think about ordering U.S. Special Forces into Mexico to take them out?
Could happen. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah. So, John, what's your reaction to that? Those cartels, if that's true, should be on notice at this point, because that was a very curious answer.
Yeah, there's this Washington idea that you should always, take certain things off the table, like, oh, we'll never go in. You know, we've seen that so often from Democratic administrations, and then you take your leverage away. And so I think Trump is letting Mexico know right now just how serious this is, and how seriously we take the harm that's been done to American citizens by the cartel. And so he's not going to take anything off the table. And, does that mean we're going to send in troops? Probably not. But, at the same time, we got to take it seriously and work with the Mexican government to rid them of this problem once and for all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's we're talking to John Schweppes, he's director of policy and government affairs for the American Principles Project. Which of these, maybe all of them, kind of align with what the project had hoped the president would move forward with? Was one of these a key priority?
Well, the DEI and the gender ideology push, I mean, we've run ads on that now for years. We
yes.
spent $18 million on the last election on those issues. And so to see them so full-throated and just across the board was really inspiring. I mean, I think you could easily approach these doing a piecemeal approach. Oh, we'll just do women's sports. We'll just do maybe taxpayer funding for prisoners, like what was talked about in the they-them ad. But no, his thing, his executive order went across the board. And so I think that's a really good sign for where he's going to go from here. I mean, this was just day one. The president is going to deliver on his campaign promises, and folks should expect that.
Speaking of promises, he had talked about how he wanted to release the JFK, the RFK, and the MLK assassination files. My gosh, there's already been two assassination attempts on his life. Now, I'm all in favor of that, but it scares me of him doing that and then what could come from that. Do you actually think he will release those soon?
Well, again, I do think promises made, promises kept. So if you set it on the campaign trail, sometimes you have to prioritize these things, and maybe it won't be a right away situation. But, I think the American people deserve to know, especially on some of these that are so far back that there's no risk of, exposing intelligence assets or anything like that. So, I think he believes that in his heart, that he wants to share this with the American people. You actually saw that recently with the drones over New Jersey, where obviously President Trump knew something that our government wasn't willing to say, and he kind of hinted that might change after January 20th.
Yeah, very true. Well, I tell you, John, how can people find out more about what you do at American Principles Project?
Well, I am on Twitter at John Schweppe, JONSCHWEPPE, and we are at AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. You can read all about us there.
Outstanding. John, thank you for your input today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I did get a little bit of breaking news here this morning just earlier, and it's something that I didn't know about, but John Lamping did. And that is the fact that Ed Martin, who, of course, we had on a week or two ago after, maybe it was 2 weeks ago or longer, after it was announced that he was going to be in charge of the, chief of staff for the Office of Management and Budget. And I had him on the show here talking about that appointment and how excited he was to be involved with the Trump administration and all that. And then, lo and behold, I find out when we have John Lamping on earlier, Ed Martin has now been named interim U.S. attorney for Washington, D.C., which is the position that was overseeing a lot of those January 6th cases. So once again, you've got a defender of truth and freedom in Ed Martin, who I've known for many, many years. And, he worked with Phyllis Schlafly with the Eagle Forum and Phyllis Schlafly's Eagles and he's been now appointed as a U.S. attorney, interim U.S. attorney for Washington, D.C. And I would assume it's interim until he can be officially sworn into the position. But it's key to have somebody in there understands and who understands what was being done to many people who did nothing on January 6th other than show up to support President Trump. So I was happy to see that here just a couple minutes ago. All right, we're going to get to a quick break. We'll be back right after this. So we know John Mellencamp there, I almost said Cougar, but it's not anymore, is going to have to change the lyrics to that song, right? Because we heard it yesterday live during the president's speech.
A short time from now, we are going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
I loved it. They had a ISO on Hillary Clinton's face when he said that, and she's cracking up, right? And Bill's just looking around at her like, whoa, what are you talking about?
Well, yeah, the left's all up in arms saying, this is really what we're wasting our time on. Now, obviously, that's not a high priority. I think that's just more of the entertainer that you see in Donald Trump because he knows it ruffles feathers and, you know, he's all about make America great again.
When you Google it, one of the first stories that comes up, because it's Google, is from PBS. And the headline is, can Trump really change the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America? So where they went to. They went to examine this. And why is Trump talking about doing this? And can he really change the name? Maybe.
I think that's a fair question because I myself have asked that.
But it's not a unilateral decision.
Right. It's not like the president gets to decide this.
Yeah, it's not a unilateral decision. Other countries don't have to go along with it. The International Hydrographic Organization, which both the U.S. and Mexico are members of, works to ensure all of the world's seas, oceans, and navigable waters are surveyed and charted uniformly and also names some of them. But they clearly haven't been around long enough to name that the Gulf of Mexico. It can be easier when a landmark is within a country's boundaries. Barack Obama approved an order from the Department of the Interior to rename Mount McKinley to Mount Denali. And that's another move Trump says he's going to reverse. Because he'll just get his Secretary of the Interior, Burgum, to change it, right? So we'll see. The Gulf of Mexico has originally got that name. When was it? 4 centuries ago.
By whom?
The original termination believed to have been taken from a Native American, the Native American city of Mexico.
But I mean, who decided
that? Yeah, I don't. It was put on a map many years ago.
I mean, these are the way the left's freaking out is funny to watch, but they are asking legitimate questions because I think there are a lot of us who have some of these questions and you hear everyone talk about this stuff and maybe you don't want to be the one to ask that question, but I think many of us are thinking, can Trump just like sign an executive order and rename the body of water? Like, how can you do, let's just rename the Pacific Ocean and rename the Atlantic. I mean, that's the joke is it's like, how can you do this? So it sounds like Trump can do it, but it's more of like a, you know, it doesn't mean that everybody, it's not like every world map is going to, from here on out, say Gulf of America. No other country has to acknowledge that. Really, Americans
don't even
have
to. Were you telling me this, Carl? That somebody measured it and Mexico actually has like 100 more miles of,
I think it's like 63 or something.
Yeah, it's less than 100, but it has slightly more coastline on the Gulf than America does,
barely.
Technically. Even though it's North America, right? And that, so you could argue it's the Gulf of America, not the Gulf of Mexico, because it's named after one country in North America as opposed to just America. But is this not the poster child for the America First policy?
Yeah.
It's just this program, this idea is just the poster child for it. That Rubio this morning was sworn in, by the way, as Secretary of State, in case you missed that. And I don't have a lot of stuff from what he said, but he did try telling a joke this morning when he was being sworn in. Here you go.
If I may take the liberty for just 15 seconds to say something in Spanish, because I know a lot of people back home would be very proud, and I want to make sure I acknowledge that. Quiero darle las gracias a Dios, a mi familia,
a mi familia que no está aquí con nosotros hoy, a mis padres que vinieron en este país en el año 1956, y el propósito de su vida fue que nosotros pudiéramos vivir los sueños que no fueron posibles para ellos. Es un honor increíble ser el secretario de Estado del país más poderoso y más bueno en la historia de toda la humanidad. Y es un gran honor, y le doy las gracias al presidente Trump por esta oportunidad. I just said I saved a bunch of money by switching to Geico. That's what I said. So.
That's hilarious. No, that's funny. That deserved a ba-dum-bum.
Because there were a lot of people in the audience that picked up one or two words out of that, but who don't speak fluent Spanish.
I heard Trump.
I did.
And mi familia. My family. That's it. That's all
he's
I know.
Probably telling him, we're going to rename it the Gulf of America, so just get used to it and
let it start
rolling off of your Americano.
It's Trump's way or the highway, baby.
Your tongue there. I thought that was pretty good. Yeah, Rubio is... I started to play this bite earlier, and I didn't get to it. But he did say earlier that that his approach to this job is going to be pretty straightforward, right? And it's Trump's approach to the job. But as Secretary of State, he's putting aside domestic politics to travel the world and represent America. This is what Marco Rubio said about that prior to being sworn in. Listen.
My job is to focus on the president's foreign policy, and it's going to be a foreign policy that's frankly as straightforward as any in modern times, and that is that the priority of the Department of State of the United States is going to be the United States, and that's what we're going to focus on. Is today we'll have a meeting with the Quad, with foreign ministers from Australia and India and Japan, to reaffirm the importance of working with allies across the world on the things that are important to America and Americans, and that's what I'm focused on moving forward. And
it's America first. It's America first when it comes to foreign policy as well, and it's long overdue. All right, that's going to do it for us. Brian Kilmeade along shortly. He was on early this morning on Fox and Friends, so I'm sure he's going to have a great show lined up for you. Annie Fry in later today. It marks the return of Mark Reardon this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and we'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Have a great day.
Get more at 971talk.com.